Thank you, ladies. John chapter 5 this morning. We'll finish chapter 5, begin chapter 6 this evening. John chapter 5. We've looked at a number of things here in John chapter 5. Mostly what we've looked at, the overriding theme in this chapter is the problem with religion, meaning people who adhere to standards on the outside, okay? People who go through certain motions and think that those motions are doing things on the outside makes them right with God. And the world's full of religion. The world's always been full of religion. People who want to do certain things to try to make themselves right with God or whoever it is that they're trying to be right with. The Bible teaches us that outward things, actions, things that we do on the outside can never penetrate the heart and change the heart. You can act a certain way. You can do everything right on the outside. You can go through the motions, and it's not going to change anything on the inside. The Bible also teaches us that if the inside is changed, if a person gets saved and God changes their heart, that will work its way out to the outside. And then what you see will be genuine. Okay? And Christ was always having to reprimand the Pharisees. The Jews and the Pharisees, as they were so religious, okay? They had the law of Moses, and they couldn't even keep that correctly. And then they added their own traditions to that, and they thought that because they were keeping that, or at least keeping it in the way they thought they were, that was making them right with God. And you'll find over and over and over again, over and over and over, Christ keeps pointing out to them, you've got a heart problem, you've got a heart problem, you've got a heart problem. And they didn't want it. They didn't want the answer. They didn't want Jesus Christ. And that's really what it all boils down to this morning, the sermon that we have here this morning. Christ has been dealing with them, and now he just gets right down and points out the matter of their heart. There's a couple of things I think that we'll learn this morning. First of all, we all need to examine our own hearts. Are we saved? Have we been born again? Are we going to heaven? Or are we still in danger of eternity in hell? The other thing is this. We have to understand as we deal with people out in the world today that these people still exist. Religious people who want to argue with you about traditions and things like that. We're going to have to realize that those people are out there and we're going to come up against them. And I'm sure that most of us already have. I have said over and over and over again that when it comes to witnessing to people and talking to people, now we don't get to make this choice, but if I had my druthers, I would rather have 10 people who were lost and didn't know anything about God or the Bible. I would rather have 10 of those people. I would rather deal with 10 people than 100. You say, oh, but wouldn't you like to get the word to 100? Look, than 100 religious people. Just give me that little 10, because you know what? Oftentimes that 10 listen a little bit better than the 100 religious people. People who think that they're right with God. They've never been born again, but they think they are because of some work that they're doing. Or they've grown up in some type of religion that has their thinking twisted. I was going to say you can't argue with a religious person, but really that's all you end up doing is arguing with a religious person. You really, oftentimes you get nowhere. I say that to say this: religion is one of the biggest enemies of Christianity. Because people who don't know anything about God or don't have any preconceived notions or don't think that they're going to heaven because of some good work, you don't have all this clutter that you have to tear down and work through. But you come up to somebody who thinks, hey, I go here, I do this, I belong to this, I've done that over there, I'm a good person here. That's a lot to try to tear down and get through. And what's at the root of that is pride. Because people think, well, I'm okay, I'm pretty good, I'm doing all of these things, and you start to get puffed up. And pride is from the devil. Okay? So that's what it all boils down to. Let's look at what happens here this morning in chapter 5 as we come to verse... we're going to be in 39 through 47, but I want to back up to verse 37. Where Jesus says to them, "And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape." Look, "And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent him ye believe not." So Christ says, you're not saved. You're not born again. You're not of God. And what he points out to them is this. The reason why is because they have rejected the very Son of God. If you reject Jesus Christ, you're not saved. You can't be saved and reject Jesus Christ. He's the one who saves you. He's the one who bought your salvation. So if someone says, "Oh, I believe there's a God, but you know, I don't think Jesus was God. I think, well, then you don't believe in the God of the Bible." "Well, I believe there was a man named Jesus, but I don't think he was God. I think he just, you know, lived and died like everybody else." Then you don't believe in the God of the Bible. Because to reject the Jesus of the Bible is to reject the God of the Bible. Because Jesus is God. He's the only begotten Son of God. And he told the Jews, he told these Pharisees, that the reason that they didn't have God abiding in them and they didn't have the Word abiding in them is they had rejected the very Son of God. They had rejected Him. So then we come to verse 39. It says, "Search the Scriptures." Boy, I tell you what, that had to be, I don't know if you see it this way, that had to be a scathing remark to them. Okay? That had to be a scathing. Here's why. They prided themselves on knowing the Scriptures. I mean, they thought nobody knew the Scriptures like them. That's all they did. Okay? It's kind of like you are rebuilding. What do you rebuild on cars anymore? They don't have carburetors. Okay? The computer circuits? I don't know. Let's say you're working on an old car that still had a carburetor, okay? And you're rebuilding a carburetor. I could not even begin to tell you how to... I rebuilt the carburetor on a weed eater. I can do that. Not on a car, okay? Let's say you're rebuilding this carburetor, and let's say I don't even know... I do, but let's say I didn't even know what a carburetor did. Let's say I didn't even know what it was. And you know all about it. And you're working on this carburetor, and you're rebuilding this carburetor. And I come up, not knowing anything about it, I come up, and I start saying stuff like, "Do you even know what you're doing? You know that's a carburetor, right? Do you know what all those pieces do in there?" You would look at me, and you would say, "Man, I know all about carburetors. Who are you asking? Who are you telling me about carburetors? That's all I've done. My whole life is rebuild carburetors. I know everything about a carburetor, inside out." Wouldn't you be kind of disgusted with me? How dare you say that to me? These people thought nobody knew the Word better than them. I mean, they thought, "You got to come to us and we'll tell you what the Word means." And then Christ tells them, "Search the Scriptures." He tells them to do the thing that they thought they were better than everybody else at. You know what he's pointing out? He's pointing out, you know what those words say, but you don't know what the Word says.
you know what the words are in those scriptures, you have missed the God of the Word. You can read this every day, and that would be better for you than anything else, but you could read this every day and completely miss what this says. You can sit in church, people do it all the time, you can sit in church and hear the preaching that you need to hear, the preaching that you need to get a hold of and need to listen to. You can sit in church week in, week out. You can go to revival meetings. You can go to every special meeting. You can hear all the preaching. You can get online and listen to the sermons online. You can listen to them multiple times. You can be in church listening to sermons, and they could be the very thing that you need to hear, what God wants you to hear and what God's trying to do in your heart, and completely miss it because you're just not listening and don't want to hear it and just want to ignore it and don't want to be changed and don't want the Word to do all of the work that it's supposed to do. Maybe I want it to do this, but this over here, I'm not listening to that. See, you can read it. You can read it and miss what it says. You can hear it preached and miss what's really being said. And Christ was pointing out to them, He says, hey, search the Scriptures. They did. They did all the time. That's what the scribes did. That was their trade. Search the Scriptures. And He points out to them, He says, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. You know what that means? They were reading it, but they were twisting it. You think somebody would actually twist God's Word to mean what they want it to mean? Well, on the way home, count how many different denominations you see when you drive past all the churches. People say, why all the different denominations? And people have all these reasons. Thinks they're right. So how do you know that you're right? Everybody thinks their interpretation, everybody thinks what they believe about the Bible is right. Well, there's something wrong with that thinking. For one, it's just an excuse. Two, just because a lot of people are wrong about something, even if everybody is wrong about something, doesn't mean the truth doesn't exist. Okay? I could stand 10 men up here this morning. 10 men. And if you didn't know any of the men, you didn't know any of them, and I told you one of them, if you didn't know Brother Denny, and I said one of them is Brother Denny Brewer, and every one of them claimed to be Brother Denny Brewer, could you say, well, none of them are Denny then, because they all claim to be Denny? No, that just means 9 of them are lying and 1 of them's telling the truth. Just because there are people who twist Scripture and turn it around and make something out of it that it's not, doesn't mean the truth doesn't exist. It doesn't mean that the truth isn't still right here in God's Word. And so people use that as an excuse and they say, well, you know, everybody thinks that they're right. Yeah, but that doesn't mean that nobody's right. That doesn't mean the truth isn't there. Let me say one more thing about that comment about everybody thinks that they're right. Those who are right don't claim to be right. We just claim God is right. You see, I'm not right. God is. I just agree with Him. That's why when people will ask me, well, what do you think about or how do you feel about, I say, well, that doesn't matter and you don't want to know what I think. What's God say? And that's what we'll think. Okay? I'm not right. You're not right. We're only right when we agree with God because He's right. Because He is right. So you can read this. You can search it. You can read it and not be changed by it because you don't believe it for what it says. You can read it and think that you're right and still be wrong. But they're so sincere. And you can be sincerely wrong too. I understand there are a lot of people who are deceiving other people. There's a lot of deception out there. I also understand there are people whose beliefs about the Bible are wrong, but they're not purposely deceiving people. They think that they're right. You can read it and think that you've got it right, and it's not right. That's why it's so important to be in it and stay in it and read it correctly and study it correctly. Remember, a couple years ago we did our hermeneutics on how to properly read and study the Bible. You have to know how to read it, how to study it, compare Scripture with Scripture, be in a good church, be in a church that says, it's all about this, and this is all that we preach right here, okay? You can know what it says, but you can also read it and completely ignore it. He says, search the Scriptures, for in them you think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. He says, you know that word, the Scripture, that you're taking and you're twisting and you're thinking that you're righteous because of the way that you're living? If you'd read that correctly, you'd see me in there. If you'd read that correctly, you would know and you would see me in there. He says, and they are they which testify of me. Hey, that's why I want the Word and nothing else. That's why I don't want the latest book or somebody else's idea. I want what God's Word says, because that's the truth that tells me who Jesus is. They were reading it, and they didn't want to see what was really in there. They didn't want it. Okay? He says, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. They are they which testify of me. By the way, let me point this out. Don't leave here today just thinking that you're saved. Leave here today knowing that you're saved. Leave here today knowing what the Bible says about salvation and knowing that you're saved. And if you find out, you know what, I thought I was, but I'm not, then don't leave here at all until that's taken care of. Look, he says in verse 40, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life. There are truths that we wish weren't true. Come on. Christ says, you won't come to me. He didn't say they couldn't come to him. He didn't say it was impossible, because salvation is free for all, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Anybody could get saved. They could. They weren't predestined to this. This wasn't foreordained that they would not. God knew. He knew. You're not going to come to me. Didn't mean that they couldn't, but he knew that they wouldn't. The question is sometimes asked, what about Judas? What about Pharaoh? Because the Bible talks about God hardening the heart of Pharaoh. And they said, well, then he didn't have a choice. God did that. Well, what about Judas? It says that, you know, he was foreordained to that, and that God already... What about them? The Bible never teaches that God predestined anybody to be lost, predestined anybody to damnation. So what does it mean that he hardened the heart of Pharaoh? What does it mean in the case of Judas, who betrayed Christ? What does that mean? Okay? Did God know what Pharaoh was going to do? Did God know what Judas was going to do? You see, salvation is available to all. God hasn't foreordained or preordained anybody, but that doesn't mean he doesn't know who's going to get saved. God did not predestine you to salvation. He did not predestine you to hell. But he knows right now, just as sure as God exists, he knows right now where you're going to spend eternity. God's not waiting, wondering what you're going to do. He knows what you're going to do. Now, he didn't force that choice on you, but he knows what your choice is going to be. They could have gotten saved. They could have gotten saved. Pharaoh could have bent, could have broken under God. He could have been obedient to God. God knew that he wasn't. I'll use him to do this. Judas could have believed. God knew that he wasn't. I'll use one that's not going to do this. They could have believed. They could have listened. They could have put their faith in Christ, Christ knew they weren't going to, and so he told them, you're not going to. He didn't say, I'm not going to let you. He said, you won't. Look, he said, and you will not come to me that you might have life. You search those scriptures. Hey, this is one of those truths that we wish it wasn't there. Because wouldn't it be wonderful if everybody got saved? Don't we want everybody to get saved? Yeah, but we know the truth is some people just aren't going to. But the thing is, you and I don't know who those are. Now, I don't want to sound Calvinistic this morning because the Calvinist teaches that people are predestined to heaven and predestined to hell. And what they teach is that if you're predestined to heaven, you're going to get saved no matter what. So then the question is, well, why does a Calvinist witness? Why do you witness to people if they're going to get saved no matter what? And then they say, well, we don't know who's predestined, who isn't. Yeah, but it doesn't matter. If he's predestined, he's going to get saved no matter what. Okay? I don't want to sound like a Calvinist when I say this morning because I'm absolutely not. I'm the furthest thing from it. But listen, even though God knows who's going to get saved and who isn't, you and I don't have that knowledge, do we? And we don't get to make that call. So we just keep telling everybody. Keep telling everybody. Because I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. And he told us to. He told us to take the gospel out to them. These people had the truth, but they wouldn't believe it. They wouldn't believe it. It was there. They had it. The scriptures, they could have known, but they wouldn't. Let me ask the question. Do you believe the word? Do you believe man? Or do you believe your opinion? What matters the most to you? They showed what mattered most to them, man and opinion. They showed what really mattered to them. What matters to us this morning? If God says it, does that settle it? Or do we care more about what man thinks? Is it our opinion? How about this? This is a test that you can take. Do you kick back against biblical truth? When biblical truth enters our lives, especially whenever it points out our sin or our wrongdoing, none of us enjoy it. None of us like it. But let me ask you this, what do you do about it? Do you kick back against it? Do you fight back against it? Do you make excuses? Do you say, oh, I don't like that, but that's true, God's right, and I want to please Him? Or maybe you kick back for a while, but then you finally realize, what am I fighting? Come on, we've all been there. We get to that point where we say, what am I doing? What am I fighting? That's God's word. That's true. He's right. The Bible tells us, when it comes to this matter, who are we going to listen to? We're going to listen to man, we're going to listen to our opinion, or we're going to listen to God? The Bible tells us to let God be true and what? Every man a liar. So who are we going to listen to? They had the scripture. He told them, search it. I'm in there. Okay? They didn't want it. They didn't want to hear it. And he said, you won't come to me. Now look, if you're saved this morning, let's make sure that we don't let that attitude creep into our service and our obedience to God. Let's make sure that we don't say, yeah, I'm saved, but, you know, I just... Some of that is pretty easy, but then there's other stuff. Let's not kick back against any of it. Let's just open ourselves up under God's word and let Him instruct us, and let's just be obedient to it. They had an outward conformity. If you look at verse 42, he says, but I know you that ye have not the love of God in you. They had an outward conformity with no inner change. Let me say this morning. I have two things that I can go by, and you have two things that you can go by when it comes to me and our salvation. Okay? Here's what I can go by. I can go by your testimony. Are you saved? Yes. Tell me how you know you're saved. You could even give me the correct biblical answer that maybe you've heard somebody else give, or you've just heard the preacher say it so many times. I know that's how you're supposed to be saved. Doesn't mean you're saved. All I can go by is what you tell me, and I can look at fruit in your life. But not every Christian, not every born-again person produces fruit like everybody else. Some people are carnal, and they're just not growing. They're saved, they love the Lord, they're just not, you know, 1 Corinthians, they were carnal. They're just not growing. It's just not, or the fruit's really slow growing. Remember I told you about my peppers? That they had sprayed that, I told the lady down at the greenhouse where I get my vegetables, I said, you know, I bought some from another place last year, and she said, I bet they didn't come up until weeks later. I said, they didn't. She said, well, they spray them with a growth inhibitor because they ship them in from Michigan so that they'll stay fresh longer. Hey, look, some Christians look like they've had growth inhibitors sprayed on them. I'm like, come on, come on, come on, okay? Well, what can we do there? Preach the word, encourage one another, pray for one another. That growth is between you and God. All we can do is try to encourage one another to grow and teach one another to grow. That's all we can do. But all we can go by is what we say. See, you can give the right answer. You could be baptized. You might even put on a show where it looks like there's a little bit of fruit. I'm saying that to tell you this. You can fool people. You can fool some people, okay? You can fool some people. You can't fool the one that matters. You could have me buffaloed all day long. You could have me fooled all the way to the bank. We might get to heaven, and we'll look around and say, where is, I'm not going to say a single name of anybody. I wouldn't hear the end of that if I just picked a name, would I? We could get to heaven, we could say, where is, oh, they weren't born again. You're kidding me. I thought for sure that they had the right testimony. They were baptized. They seemed to be, they weren't born again. You could fool me all the way to the bank. I could fool you all the way to the bank. We could do that, couldn't we? We could maybe fool some people. We could maybe find us a new church where nobody knows the rascal that we are. Go in and really put on. Sometimes we can fool people. Here's the thing. It doesn't matter one bit if you fool me. It doesn't matter one bit if I fool you. Because I'm not the one that died for your sin. You didn't die for my sin. I don't have the final say on you, and you don't have the final say on me. But the one who does, the one who died for our sin, the one who has the final say, you can't fool him for a second. He knows. He looks right at these people. He looks right at these people, and he says, but I know you. You know what that makes me think of? Your parents thought you were saved. Your friends thought you were saved. Preacher thought you were saved. You maybe even convinced yourself you were saved. What's Christ say? But I know you. I know you. And he says that ye have not the love of God. Ye have not the love of God in you. You see, think. And I know sometimes we say, yeah, they're saved. But really, we're just going by the best we can, right? We're going by what they've said. We're going by what we observe. But we could even still be wrong. But we say that. We say, yeah, they're saved. They're born again. They're a believer. But even with all the evidence that we can have, we can't say 100%, can we? Somebody could be pulling the wool over our eyes. You ain't pulling it over Christ's eyes. He says, but I know you. He tells them, he says, but I know you that you have not the love of God in you. They had an outward conformity and not an inward change. Verse 43, he says, I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. We see this everywhere. We see this everywhere. Preachers who stand up and proclaim God's word. Preachers who stand up and tell how to be saved and how to live for God. Just preaching God's word, not preaching their own opinion, not preaching what man thinks, just preaching the word of God. We see this. And then there are people who come with their philosophy and their opinions and their beliefs and their agendas, and people just jump on that bandwagon, don't they? Just jump right on there. Well, did you hear? You know, so and so say. Have you ever noticed how easily we believe certain things? Have you ever noticed that? Somebody just says it enough times. Somebody posted on social media enough times. The guy on the news says it. So it's got to be true. And we don't go and look it up and say, is that right? I won't go into details, but Brother Steve Fincher sent me an email about something that was kind of along those lines. He was talking about somebody that was on the news and how they were given these facts, and they weren't even close to being facts. These were things you didn't even have to look up. This was just common sense that you know that isn't true. And he was pointing that out. He was saying, how many people listen to this and don't even bother to look it up? And tomorrow they'll say, hey, did you hear? Yeah, did you know? Did you know? That happens, doesn't it? We will buy into stuff because somebody said it on the news, because we saw it online, because it was in the newspaper. Well, they've got to tell the truth, right? No, not when you have freedom of the press. You can just about say whatever you want. I mean, who gets sued for slander or libel anymore? You know why nobody gets sued for slander or libel? There ain't enough courts in the nation to see all those cases. It's kind of like, that's why hardly anybody gets pulled over for speeding anymore. You gonna pull everybody over all day long? Look, we hear that stuff and we just buy into it. And we don't go look it up. We just buy into it. And somebody comes to us and says, you know, God's word says, well, I don't think that's right. Well, that might be okay for you, but you know, that's different for me. Really? Really? Because you can prove this. You can prove that right there. They were doing what man still does today. They were religious. They would listen to what men said. The very Son of God stood in front of them and told them the truth, and they wouldn't listen to him. And it's sad that even some Christians will do that. They'll have something in their life, or they'll have a question about something, and you'll say, right here it is. Well, that's, I don't think that's really what they meant whenever they wrote that. You know, I think that's probably been twisted around. It's right here. Yeah, but you know, my cousin, my aunt, my uncle, mother, what, you know, they've always told me, yeah, but they're not God, and God said this right here. Well, yeah, but, I just, look, he said, I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. You'll listen to somebody else. Rather than the pure facts of the word of Almighty God. This is what religious people do. God forbid God's people do this. But we do sometimes. Now look. He says, how can ye believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? How are you going to believe when the only thing you care about is what you say about one another? How are you going to believe? How are you going to listen to it? Hey, here's a stumbling block that enters into a lot of people's lives. People reject the truth of God's word because they're more concerned about what their families think, what their families believe, what their friends say, what their friends do, the way that their friends live, the way that the neighbors think. They're more concerned about pleasing those people and what those people are going to say than what God's word says. And God says to these, he says, how can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? He said, what you care about is what everybody around you thinks of you. How are you going to be able to believe when you don't even care what God says or thinks? That's what he says to them. Now he says, do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you. Boy, and this got him. Even Moses, in whom ye trust. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. You know what? Moses, God used Moses to give Israel the law, and they thought they were keeping the law. They made a big deal out of Moses. They made a big deal out of Moses. I mean, Moses was big time to them. He gave the law, and they thought they kept the law. And so here he tells them, he says, Moses accuses you. Ouch. Now, how is that? Look, for had ye believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. That's what he's been telling them the whole time. You read those words, and you think that you're believing them, and you think that you're... And you're not believing them. You don't believe the Father. You're not born again. You're not changed. You see, reading this book doesn't save you. Coming in this church doesn't save you. Cleaning up some stuff in your life doesn't save you. Putting a verse on Facebook doesn't save you. Having a gospel CD in your car doesn't save you. Having a Bible out on the table doesn't save you. Trying to act like the other people at church doesn't save you. Faith in Jesus Christ is the only thing that saves us. And Jesus Christ knows if you've done that or not. He knows. You're not fooling him. And he points out here, you put so much store in Moses. Moses wrote about me, he said. Moses wrote about me. He's proven to them, you're reading it and you're not getting it. You're reading it and you're not, it's not doing the work. You're reading it and you're not believing it. Don't let that be us. Don't let that be us. Now look, but if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? You set great store in Moses. If you don't believe him, you're not going to believe me. Okay, if you don't believe Moses, he says, you know, he talked about me, and if you didn't believe him, you're not going to believe what I say about me. Look, they cared for their own approval and not of God. Let me ask you this question. For whom have you abandoned God for? Whose approval have you sought? Is there somebody or some people in your life that you care more about keeping them happy or what they think than you do what God's Word says? Is the Bible, is the preaching right there? It's plain. This is what God says. This is what needs to be done. And our response is, oh, but so-and-so said. Yeah, but see, every time I say that, they argue with me. I don't like arguing with them. Okay? Who have we abandoned God for? Whose approval have we sought? So let me close with this. We have to understand that there are people who we will come up against in this world that we'll witness to. There are people who are very religious. They maybe even go to a church involved in a religion and they're not born again. And sometimes nothing that we say, nothing that you say is going to, they're going to go to, some of them are going to go to the grave clinging to their religion rather than abandoning what they believe and putting faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But we give them the gospel anyhow. We give them the gospel anyhow. Okay? Because you don't know. You don't know. I was saved, but religious. I was saved and in the wrong kind of church. I was saved and being raised under the wrong kind of teaching. And I was one of these religious people for years. I was saved. But I had a lot of things that were wrong. And I held on to those things. And God got a hold of my heart and began to get my attention on Him and off of everything. And then I began to see, I'm wrong there. Oh, it was wonderful. Okay? There are going to be people who are so religious, you're just not going to be able to, but you just give them the gospel. Just give them the gospel. Okay? But then there's another lesson that we have to learn here, and I know I've said this a few times, I'll say it one more time. Let's make sure we don't get in this boat. Because a saved person can get in the boat where he's saved, but he has somewhere along the line started caring more about what man thinks. He's somewhere along the line started listening to something that doesn't line up with Scripture. We can get in that boat too. Not lost like them if you're already saved, but we can get in that boat. Let's make sure we don't get in that boat. Let's examine ourselves this morning and ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, is there some place in my life where I'm just not listening to you? Or I'm listening to other people, or I'm caring more what other people think. Is there some area where, let Him show that to us and then deal with it. Okay? Deal with it. If you believe not His writings, how shall you believe my words? You know, when you talk to somebody who doesn't believe this is the very word of God, what are you going to tell them? There's nothing you can say. And this is all you have to say. Here's what the Bible says. If they don't believe it, don't try to figure out ways to convince them. You can't. Only God can. You just give them the word and only God can convince them. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning and the truth of your word. I pray that however each and every one of us needs to be convicted and worked on this morning, you would do that. I pray that it would be clear the things that we need to deal with in our lives. And help us to surrender to your word, not to man, not to opinion, and that we would do what's pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.